Hey world, how are you tonight? This is Rachel, of course, and today is a very special episode. We're talking Doctor Who, and we're talking with quite a few guests tonight. We've got Eric with us.
Hi!
We've got Winston.
Hello, how's it going?
We've got Cameron the Dalek.
Hello!
And we've got Zach here.
How's it going?
So first off, we're going to talk about Crypticon, just quickly wrap that up. We all were pretty much involved in the costume contest on Saturday. We had Brad Beagley, Ryan Couture, in the men's costume contest. Ryan taking second. Poor Brad. We also had Marissa Bowles and myself in the women's, and I was really excited that I took second in the women's. I was dressed up in my clicker. Ryan was in his Ghostbusters. Marissa was a scary clown, and Brad was his own take on the Phantom of the Opera. And during the couples, we actually had Sabrina Hargis and Jess Jones beat out everybody. They beat out a really awesome Freddy Krueger and Mike Myers. Or no, Jason Voorhees. They had a really good Daphne and Velma zombie hunters, and they ended up taking all of it, getting the big prize. It was a great weekend for the Kansas City cosplayers. That weekend, we also had Damian Zimmerman from Face Off chat with us a little bit about makeup, practical effects, CGI, and just basically how he got into it. So you'll want to check out that podcast. Now, for the reason why we're here, guys, let's talk Doctor Who. This Saturday, which will be last Saturday when you hear this, is Capaldi's first time as the Doctor. He was already in Pompeii, and he did a great job being a side character. So what do you guys think about Capaldi's, I guess, return to the show? Like, who wants to start us off, Eric?
Just because I'm on the right?
Yeah, that's how I do this.
Go! I think it's going to be great having an older doctor and not having the relationship issues with the younger companions.
Which is what New Who has been about this entire time.
Which is, it's been fine. I loved Rose and all that. Amy was great, and Coleman's been great, but it's getting a little old.
That's very true. It got rough with multiple love interests. Winston, what do you think about Capaldi?
I was on the fence at first when I heard that the new actor playing the Doctor was going to be an older person. Because
he's not pretty?
No! Actually, I think Capaldi is pretty enough for his age to pull it off. I was on the fence because...
Not as good looking as me.
Well, of course. Yeah. But I came in to Doctor Who when Eccleston was in, and then David Tennant and Matt Smith. So I'm used to the younger Doctors, because that's where my whole experience begins.
Fair enough.
But the more I looked into it, going with an older doctor this time around was actually more reasonable, because he had just gone through this big traumatic experience, and having an older doctor come in and take his place once Matt Smith passed on, so to speak, it made a lot more sense, because it's more serious and it's not going to be as lighthearted as it was before.
Fair enough. Cameron?
Well, I think he'll be adequate from a Dalek viewpoint. The only good doctor is a dead doctor, but I think it will be nice to have a change in the show. I think everything will go well, and hopefully there will be a less Dalek killing.
And Zach, what do you think?
How do I follow that up? I'm really excited. I started with Eccleston like a lot of people, but in the years since he started, I've gone back and watched a lot of the old ones. I'm excited for the prospect of an old doctor. I think it's what the franchise needs at this point, and I think it's going to be a great transition and a comparison point where you've got Matt Smith, who is very young and childish and playful, and yet had a very old soul about him. And then Peter Capaldi is obviously much older, a little bit more rugged, a little bit more bristly, a little bit crankier, and yet I know from things I've read and just from the little clips we've seen so far, there's a little bit of that warm goodness deep within him. And so that'll be kind of cool to see his character develop.
If that's how he ends up playing it, that's going to be very reminiscent of the first Doctor, because he was very serious and...
Old and cranky!
Exactly, old and cranky, but he would make jokes that, you know, a six-year-old would, and it was very lighthearted.
Well, he started off very angry and cranky and just like, who are you people, why are you in my TARDIS kind of a thing, And then he really warmed up when two of the first companions,
the teachers,
when they left, he was broken up about it. He was having an emotional moment, which up to that point was, why is he getting all worked up?
Mm-hmm. Capaldi is supposed to be the same age as the first Doctor was, as Hartnell was.
Mm-hmm. Same age as the Doctor was.
He's the first of the new set of regenerations. It looks like they're trying to reset. It's like the true reboot of Doctor Who, rather than just starting it up. Nine was considered a reboot, but it was continuing the old storyline. This almost seems like they're starting over.
If they do that, then they have a whole new base of storyline to go with, which is going to make the series that much better. And you're going to have a lot more people coming into Doctor Who as they grow up with it. So
that's true. And since 2005, we've been without other Time Lords. The Master has shown up here and there, but even he has pretty much proven to break the Doctor's heart. So he might actually have a chance for friends this time around.
Friends will be along with him
for
a long period of time.
Yeah.
On top of that, it actually has a sense of bringing new enemies into as well.
Exactly.
There were some Time Lords that were not very nice, besides the mm-hmm. Master in Classic Who, so there's a chance for some of them to show.
The reason why the Master was the way he was because of looking into the Time Vortex, so it kind of messed him up. So, of course, he's going to go even more nuts than the Doctor is.
So what are some things that you want to see come back? What are some of your favorite villains that you want to see Capaldi go up against?
Daleks!
That's so loud.
Actually, I would have to agree. I would like to see what Capaldi would do with the Daleks, but I'd also see how he would handle, like, the Cybermen.
I think that's fair enough. Each Doctor so far got a chance to fight the Daleks. Eccleston was the only one who didn't get to fight the mm-hmm. Cybermen. So there's obviously an opportunity for both of them, since those are really the two main villains out of all the seasons.
I'm interested to see whether it's the Skittle Daleks or the correct Daleks.
What's the correct Dalek?
Daleks are the silver, well, black and white first, if you want to go the original ones.
That's true.
Or the, the chrome ones.
Basically the ones that don't look like Power Rangers.
Fair enough.
Go, Power Daleks.
The original Cybermen were covered in cloth on their face. Yeah. They looked like plastic surgery victims.
Yeah.
Honestly, I know Capaldi did a recent interview with Entertainment Weekly, and he said he wanted to see those because he thought, as a child, those were more frightening.
They're so creepy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we see botched plastic surgeries all over the news.
So it's not very scary anymore.
I think it's more frightening than the normal Cybermen. Honestly, like, I know the Weeping Angels are so new, but they do a different take on them with mm-hmm. each Doctor. Tennant had the time travel version of mm-hmm. them, and then Smith had a much scarier version.
Which was they could turn any statue into a Weeping Angel,
yeah.
including Lady Liberty herself.
Amy was turning into one mm-hmm. in that episode. So I think at least one episode in his entire run dealing with the Weeping Angels would make me feel a little happy.
Yeah.
You're giving a bad face.
I hate the Weeping Angels.
They creep me out.
I'm a big Star Trek fan.
Okay.
And they remind me of the Borg.
Okay.
Super powerful, but they have this one little weakness that somehow makes somebody who has no chance against them defeat them.
Yeah,
Borg,
pretty accurate.
Just holster your weapon on the Borg and you're fine.
That's at least Moffat's entire run is just every villain presents a problem, but you can beat him with just this one little trick. So,
well, speaking of Moffat villains, I want to see the Silence come back.
Yeah.
I really want to see them come back because they presented a very unique challenge to Matt Smith. And I want to see how Capaldi would take care of that. Would go about, you know, figuring out who they are and how to stop them mm-hmm. without. But see, as soon as you turn away, you forget.
Have to turn away. I'm a Dalek. I could keep their image in my eye.
How about you, Zach? Any villains you want to see come back?
You know, the Silence and the Weeping Angels were fun, but they kind of lost, both of them kind of lost some of their splendor the more we saw them and the more the rules kind of changed for them to kind of meet mm-hmm. the needs of the episode. And, it's going to be really hard to top Matt Smith fighting alongside the Silence like he did in his final episode.
That's true.
And there was a lot of things that they kind of did to death that I would like to see them get away from. Now, call me crazy. I'm probably alone in this. I would like it if Peter Capaldi had to fight Candyman from Sylvester McCoy's Madness Patrol.
That would be
I would actually want to watch that episode very much.
Wouldn't it be great?
It would definitely be an interesting watch, that is for sure.
Capaldi, I imagine, would just be just pissed off that he's fighting a piece of candy. I mean, he would not be happy about it at all. In all seriousness, that episode was a very fascinating dystopia and... look at society and happiness and sadness and how that's important. And it'd be cool to see more of these episodes wrestle with some of those themes.
Well, they kind of revisited that with Tenet during the Adipose episode, where it was basically just a giant take on our society's obsession with weight loss and what we would do to do it. Would you totally be a host body for this parasite alien? And it's totally cool.
Cause not if cute. I would dissolve into 100 of them and die.
That was pretty frightening.
You know, if it wasn't for the fact that at the end you just become them, I'd be fine with it, you know, having a couple of these little cute little blobs pop off of me and, you know, lose weight at the same time, as long as I didn't die in the end.
So what about companions? Every once in a while, a companion will come back. Sarah Jane, of course, made quite a few returns, and sadly, the actress has passed away now, so she will be lost. Anyone you'd like to see come back?
I would like to see Peter meet Amy to see how he would feel about that.
They already did in Pompeii, though.
I know, but I'm talking about Dr. Capaldi, not Pompeii Capaldi. I would like to see Peter Capaldi's reaction to her.
Fair enough. You know,
and maybe have Rose somehow make a cameo, because she's always been my favorite companion, because I met her in Eccleston all the way over to Tenet.
You gotta get River back in there somehow.
Really need to see River. Really interesting chemistry.
Doesn't have to be a lot
especially,
of episodes, but you really need
especially
spend
since
an
they're
episode
more towards the same age instead of, you know, having somebody.
I don't think that matters. She's a time lady.
Well, still. Yeah. With Claire as the new companion, switching over to Capaldi as the new doctor, the age difference there is so great that.
That's okay, though, because Hartnell had Susan, and Baker had Sarah Jane, and the father-daughter relationship, I think, is one that hasn't been visited through New Who whatsoever, so...
It could be...
Speaking of a father-daughter relationship, Jenny, the Doctor's daughter...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it would be great to have
time Jenny. I completely forgot about her.
Yeah.
David Tennant's wife.
I would really like to see
Peter Davison's daughter.
She has so many Doctor connections. I feel like it would be a waste if they didn't bring her back at some point.
Sure.
We've got Barrowman. We want to see him come back. We'd like to see a Rose appearance once. Mm-hmm. We'd like to see...
The Doctor's daughter.
Yeah, the Doctor's
daughter.
Dalek companion!
And you know...
That would actually be amusing to see an actual Dalek companion who doesn't want to kill everybody he meets.
Claire kind of is.
If you think about it, just that one version of Claire was. And
that's okay. She has horcruxes. And she's a horcrux.
This Dalek would be called Kevin!
Joe Grant from the old series.
Okay.
I would like to see. She was in the Sarah Jane adventures.
She was with...
They had an episode with her and
with
Matt
her
Smith.
There. And that was, that was cool. Very nice. And then the blanking on the Time Lord companion of the fourth Doctor, who I believe
she
was
regenerated.
Left
she regenerated grabbed the key to time.
Ramona? I'm so sorry, I forgot this.
That's terrible. I knew this a minute ago.
She's a girl, and she's a time lady, and she should come back.
I believe she was even left in charge when the fifth Doctor became president of the Time Lords.
Interesting.
I really need to go back.
He left her in charge because he didn't want to be on Gallifrey. He wanted to continue to travel,
of course.
He left her.
Good decision.
That's how he left her behind. Was
Time Lords coming back? It would make sense that we would see her again.
Yeah.
And because she could regenerate, it doesn't even have to be the same actress. She was two actresses on the original series, and she was played by, I can't remember who, but someone on the audio adventures did her voice.
Well, they had three versions of River. She got to regenerate. So, moving on to Capaldi and Coleman's relationship, obviously it's going to be way less flirtatious. Obviously, Capaldi's going to be darker. Everything we've seen from the trailers, the teasers, and I know the first two episodes have leaked. I don't know if anybody's watched them.
I
stayed
watched
away
them.
From them.
I am too.
I want to watch
it. For Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. But he's supposed to be really dark, so I'm actually thinking that he might get to that breaking point where he scares Coleman, because the Doctor can be really frightening, and Tennant touched on that a couple times.
He touched on it quite a few times, actually, with, you
Matt
know...
Matt Smith did a couple scary monologues here and there, but I don't think
she
ever really achieved it.
She sounds a little scared, or at least uneasy, in the trailers. She just sounds worried.
Well, see...
Do you think that's why she's going to stop being a companion, though?
Maybe. I mean, I hope not. I hope to see her ground him, and I hope to see their relationship blossom into a good friendship, a father-daughter, grandfather-granddaughter type of a relationship, if possible. They need to play the scary right, because when Baker was dealing with the regeneration madness, he starts choking out Perry, his companion, at that point in time. Which, considering the previous doctor died saving her, and then moments later the new regeneration's choking her out on the TARDIS, that's a line you just don't want to cross. And it alienated audiences. It was a huge problem for that doctor, because they wanted to do an arc with him where he started dark. So hopefully they do that with Capaldi, but they don't start too dark.
Hopefully Moffat found that middle ground in between those two.
I've heard that Capaldi wanted to be everything Six didn't end mm-hmm. up to be.
But with Capaldi and Coleman, the way I see it going down is with Matt Smith, because he had that slight little crush on her. But no, the way I see it is Claire could control Smith Doctor pretty easily because of that crush. But with Capaldi, he's a brand new thing. He's not going to have the same feelings for Claire that Smith did, and she's not going to be able to control him anymore to that certain extent that she could with Smith.
Right.
And she's gonna get a little freaked out, in my opinion, because of how dark, how more sinister he's going to seem.
Maybe I'm alone here, but I guess especially when I rewatched it, I guess I felt that Smith and Clara were much more platonic. And there was maybe a baseline attraction, but I felt like the longer they traveled together, they didn't seem quite as romantically interested. I think by the time it was done, he was just happy to have her as a friend. And I think she was a good friend in the way that, not the same, but in a
like
similar
Tennant
way to where
Tennant
and Martha, or Tennant and Donna, because there was absolutely no romance. She made it clear from the get-go.
Well, I feel like if Donna was going to be attracted to somebody, it would probably be Eccleston, just because of the amount of sass that she
had.
That sass couldn't control each other.
And I can see Claire fitting more in the role of like Susan with the first Doctor with Capaldi.
Which would be great.
Which, again, kind of goes back to the kind whole of a reset kind of
father-daughter relationship.
And what's interesting
is
some of the best companions, some of the most pivotal companions in the history of the show are the ones that are there for two Doctors. Because you've got Sarah Jane, you've got, moving ahead to New Who, you've got Rose, who's obviously there in that transitional point.
From Eccleston to Tennant.
And now you've got Clara, who's going to see, you know, a change. And it's a special type of actress or actor who can have chemistry that works with two different actors that way, but it's also a special type of companion who can be so important to a doctor that they're there for, you know, a chunk of two different doctors' regenerations.
Well, obviously the news just broke like this week about Clara leaving the show. So series 8.
Did BBC confirm that?
BBC confirmed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or not.
So Clara's out after series 8. Who do you guys want to see replace her? And maybe not an actor or actress, but just like what other relationship would you be interested in seeing?
There's been a few pictures of a black man with them.
Yeah,
right.
I assume supposed to be in this season. Yeah, I think he's a co-teacher of Clara at the Coal Hill School. Is that what I'd read?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll tell you right now though. I would like to see somebody from a different show altogether come in to be a Doctor Who companion, and I think the guy who plays Castiel from Supernatural would be Misha would be a fantastic companion.
Well, Supernatural is being rumored as ending on their 10th season, so Misha would be pretty fantastic. Mm-hmm. I do think a male companion would be great. We haven't seen just a male companion, the two of them going together by themselves since, I want to say, Aldrich? Like, I think that was the last time a male companion Doctor and only a male companion.
But yeah, Solo, it probably was Aldrich. I'm not thinking of anybody else.
It would be nice if he could get a companion that wasn't more important than the last companion.
That's true.
We seem to be getting this thing where this companion just saved the Doctor. Well, now this companion now has to save all of time and space.
It's almost like they're trying to top the Bad Wolf.
Well, you got top Bad Wolf, then you had
the girl who walks all over the Earth.
Yeah, you had the Daleks making their pocket universe and destroying everything else.
And you had the most important girl in the universe.
Yeah. That Doctor.
It'd be nice to see that.
Amy becomes the most important one because she basically rebuilds all of reality somehow not knowing most of it.
And then forgetting.
Coleman's the impossible girl.
And yeah.
Coleman's the impossible girl. Where she goes back and saves every doctor. Created
so
the ability for all those other ones.
We just need an average Joe. We need an average person. And it'd be really cool if it was someone from history. I think we've got a lot of this modern female and her boyfriend trope happening. And it'd be nice if it was someone from history, like the doctor used to travel occasionally with people. And then they kind of flirted that line with Clara, because obviously she was in Victorian London, but they could do more.
Well, that leads me to my next question. So a big thing with the doctor is he visits history, and a lot of it is British, of course, but some of my favorite episodes were them going back in time when he visits Charles Dickens, when he visits Van Gogh.
Oh, I loved Van Gogh, especially the fact that they got Bill Nye to be the person to go around
the museum. Yeah.
And talk about Van Gogh. And
it's enough to make you not commit suicide.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
So, personally, I want to see him come across the scientists. I don't remember any of them so far, and I would love to see him bump into Tesla.
Well, you got to think for a second.
Cool. I would like that.
Tesla is a lot steampunkish.
Yeah.
And if you look at most of the doctors, in some way, fashion, or form, are steampunk-esque. So having Tesla go along with the doctor for even an episode or two would be fantastic, because, you know, all the witty conversations that the two of them could have with each other and can actually understand each other would be just awe-inspiring.
They could even do an episode where they're trying to prevent Edison from stealing Tesla's ideas, and then it's a fixed point, so we can't do it. But, you know, some sort of underdog story that champions
that would be great.
Tesla's accomplishments.
I would love, like, I know I've had an issue with Smith's run because they try to Americanize it so much.
Mm-hmm. It's not necessary.
It's not. If you're going to do anything with America, having a fun episode where you explain what happened to Amelia Earhart.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice.
Because they don't usually visit a lot of women in history unless they're monarchs. So you visit this adventurer who also traveled the world and mysteriously died. Maybe she just ran off with the doctor
for a while, and then
that would be really
cool. Ended up just staying on a different planet in the future.
It just happens to find her on a different planet. Hey, how's it going? Oh yeah, hi Amelia. I forgot I left you here. Don't worry, I'll be right back. I'm going to just grab something out of the TARDIS I got for you,
and then just disappear.
What are some of the things from the other doctors that you just absolutely loved and either broke your heart or completely got you hooked on the show?
The first time when they found that different dimension where Rose's dad was alive with Tennant.
Oh, yeah.
That first time that he had to leave her there because there was no way to open up that dimensional rift again. He was talking to her through a projection, was just completely heartbreaking to me, because she was
just say it.
I know, it's the simple fact that I'm waiting for him to say that he loves Rose, and it's just heartbreaking. But the fact that they brought her and Jimmy back, and then they took the separate Tennant, and he was allowed to go back with her,
and
she chose him. Because he's human, was fantastic. Yeah, it was fantastic that she got to keep the doctor.
It was nice that she got her happy ending.
Yeah.
Another character would be nice to see come back in future episodes.
The other crisis doctor.
The other doctor, yeah.
Yeah, have Tennant come back to play him.
I think I was hooked on the show in the second Eccleston episode. I didn't really like the living mannequins. I thought
those
cheesy,
were crazy,
but
really.
Was a beautiful episode to me. We got to see Eccleston pretty much at his best. He hates humans, he loves tree people, and the "I give you air from my lungs" was so great. He just made me giggle.
That's what I do when I forget presents.
For me, the pivotal episode was actually just called Dalek. That's why I have a Dalek living in my garage now.
Hi!
I'd been laid off. I was up in Iowa watching Doctor Who, working on the dad's farm, watching Doctor Who on their PBS. They showed Tennant first and then Eccleston. Didn't know what was going on. When I got home, I saw it was on Netflix. So I started it up. Boys didn't want to watch it. And then next thing I know, they're saying, play the next one, play the next one. I thought they had left the room. And we got to that Dalek episode. And my then 6-year-old boy, we got to the end of that episode. And the Dalek, spoiler alert, couldn't stand being so much like Rose, being humanish enough that he kills himself. And my youngest son bawled.
Oh, man.
I mean, yep. Fell out, bawled. So a few years later, it's his last year in Cub Scouts. That's when we decided to build that red Dalek costume that we have.
There is a Dalek in our garage not doing anything. If you need someone to play the part of Dalek Kevin.
Oh, shameless plug.
No, shameless plug would be that it's Red Dalek on Facebook.
Red Dalek out on Facebook.
He's the one pictured with the Seventh Doctor.
Fantastic costume, and we'd love to have you back on for a podcast to talk about it.
But that's why we built that. It affected my youngest boy so much, and he was, the costume was originally built for him, but then his older brother Cameron is the one who does the voice and operates him so well.
How about you, Zach?
You know, there's so many moments, and it's almost like each doctor has their own moment where you really know, wow, okay, I'm on board. I mean, you already mentioned Dalek, which was with Eccleston. That was one of those big moments where you're like, wow. I mean, this is a tortured individual and just dealing with the darkness of the choices he's made. But I, jumping ahead then to say something different, I would say the moment, and it took me a while, but the moment I knew I really liked Tennant was at the end of season 3 when he is basically choosing to forgive the Master despite, you know, that whole year that technically didn't happen and being, you know, used and tortured. He's still, no, we're not alone. We have each other. It'll be okay. And then the whole Master refusing to regenerate and just watching David Tennant break down and cry and just realize that he'd lost someone dear to him. Despite all the horrible things he'd done, he really cared about this guy. And that moment for me was, wow, Doctor Who is not an American show. Like, this isn't about blowing things up and about vengeance and justice. This isn't American.
Well,
this
maybe is just a little bit of vengeance.
there is some of that comes into play. But at his core, the Doctor is a deeply compassionate individual.
So you're saying that Daleks are more American.
Quite a bit. I almost wonder if they're a commentary on America.
Oh, wow, that's deep. But no, the Doctor, he doesn't ever fights. He's got a sonic screwdriver, but he uses that on things, not really on people. And
I'm a thing now.
You are. But you're the best thing.
Yay! I knew it.
But he outsmarts people. He outsmarts his villains, and that's something that even American television now, we just don't have, which mm-hmm. is somewhat depressing at times, but we like big Michael Bay explosions.
it's about the violence with America.
Yeah, it's true. I think the worst moment for me was Donna. Her ending was just so sad. The fact that she had to have everything taken from her.
All her memories of being with the Doctor and being the most important person in the universe and all that good stuff.
And
was anybody sad when that happened to the Daleks?
No.
Crickets.
Didn't last.
I think the Daleks were sad.
So you didn't have your grandfather know that you knew all these great things.
Right.
His sad reaction to knowing that he could never let his granddaughter know that she had this fantastic adventure.
Yeah, that to me was worse than any regeneration. It was sad to see Eccleston go. It was really sad to see Tennant go.
Oh, man, I almost cried when Tennant went.
He pretty much defined mm-hmm. New Who. Mm-hmm. And then Matt Smith's regeneration was very beautiful. That speech at the end he gave was fantastic, and I think it may be his best moment.
It really humanized the process of regeneration. And that moment with that speech, it was no longer some alien thing that just kept the character going, but it was a human experience. You can listen to that speech and go, wow, I've been that. I've regenerated right. in some sense throughout my life.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't as drawn out with right. Eccleston and Tennant.
You know, and maybe I'm alone in this, but on
or even
rewatch.
Paul McGann.
On rewatch, I actually preferred the Matt Smith's regeneration to David Tennant's regeneration. David Tennant's regeneration wasn't as good for me, you know, on the rewatches, because it was borderline selfish.
At least he didn't sneeze, though.
It's true. I mean, but he throws a bit of a fit. And I mean, yes, he's compassionate, but he kind of throws a fit.
He throws a tantrum.
Like, and really, I mean, his last words were, "I don't want to go." No. I mean, it was kind of a kid throwing a fit, which is David Tennant's doctor was so much better than a kid throwing a fit. Whereas Matt Smith's doctor basically dies thinking he's saving Clara, even though Clara's, you know, in the process of making sure he gets a whole other arc of regeneration. but he dies saving this town. And he didn't want to go to Trenzalore. He cried when the name came up and he had to go there in the earlier episodes. But when he gets to Trenzalore and he's in Christmas, he embraces it. He's like, well, I'm going to die here. And when he, as this steady but wobbly old man, walks up and you know, prepares to face his death. He thinks he's going to his end, and he doesn't do so throwing a fit. He doesn't do so, you know, crying and wishing he had more time. He goes so knowing, you know what, I'm going to try and do one last good thing before it all goes bad.
And Smith even mentions in the episode that that face, he was more vain.
I want to talk a little bit more about each individual run of The Last New Who, including the War Doctor. Where do you guys place him? Is he 8.5 for you? Did you screw up your numbers? Or how do you feel about the War Doctor?
Technically, the War Doctor was 8.
Right.
So.
No, he was 9. 8 was in the Paul McGann and from the movie.
And then he was 9.
So he should have been 9, just like Rowan Atkinson was number 9 in that comic special written by Stephen Moffat.
That was hilarious.
And then there was actually a webisode of the actor, I can't remember his name now, who's the Great Intelligence now.
Oh, okay.
He does the voice of the animated webisodes of the Doctor,
Richard
just
E.
before Eccleston's. Mm-hmm. It was a year or two before Eccleston.
Fun factoid, Richard E. Grant played in a movie with Nail and I with Paul McGann. A couple of young struggling actors basically getting drunk in Britain and taking a holiday. It's a weird movie, but it's definitely one I recommend. And it's got technically 2 Doctors.
Very good.
But I don't really see him as 8.5 Doctor, because him as the War Doctor, think of him more as a soldier than
right.
a doctor than one of the doctors.
I just refused to screw up my numbers, so he's 8.5 to me. How did you guys feel about that?
I found him adequate.
John Hurt is brilliant.
Yeah,
he's really great.
I think he did a fantastic job. And with the whole couple hundred years calculations to figure out how to get Gallifrey out of the trouble that it was in, starting with him and then ending with Smith, was absolutely brilliant. And they did it in a span of a few seconds.
And his appearance in the 50th anniversary was so well done. The fact that he points out Tennant and Smith are immature
and childish, and
who says timey-wimey
wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey.
They're not water pistols. Why are you pointing them at everything?
Yeah, he's the oldest actor to play the Doctor at this point. Mm-hmm. So he's even, if you go back to Hartnell, who was the oldest prior to that, who wasn't anywhere, he didn't even make it to the age that Ollivander made it to. you could see why he would be more that curmudgeon like the first Doctor was. Of course, Matt Smith apparently got way past that age.
Yeah.
And never got that way. And I always wondered why he didn't evacuate the people from Christmas into the TARDIS.
That
would
have been...
it would have made more sense. But let's just have them die at the hands of wooden Cybermen instead.
Yeah, why not?
What it is it doesn't make for a good plot line. If you just have them escape on the TARDIS.
I forgot. It's kind of that whole Michael Bay
Scooby-Doo
thing. Yeah. It's not in the script.
The people of Christmas must have just been a fixed point in time. That's the big way to explain that.
That's the only way to see it.
Yeah, the fixed point in time. Yeah, exactly. Well, except when it doesn't.
Now, why the hell didn't Freddy ever turn around and just punch one of the ghosts in the face, right? Like, oh, yeah, that would have been too easy. That's why.
So it sounds like everyone's pretty excited for the new Doctor Who.
I can't wait to see what his sonic screwdriver is going to look like.
I can't wait to see what his TARDIS looks like. The TARDIS is going to look
cool. It will be blue!
The inside.
Probably also a little blue!
Do you think he's going to have a romantic feeling towards the TARDIS this time around?
Maybe.
They all seem to have that.
That's pretty consistent. Sweetie. Yeah.
Since Capaldi's supposed to be such a more serious actor or a serious doctor, I don't think he's going to have that little flirtatious thing going on with the TARDIS that the other doctors have, because he's serious. He's not in it for love. He's in it to win it, basically.
What is he just going to be like, you're not going anywhere?
Well, technically, she's not. The way they did the 50th anniversary, I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was because of the simple pretty fact awesome. That when I saw John Hurt, I was like, who is he? Where's right. he coming from? And then when Matt Smith said that he was something that shouldn't have happened, I was like, oh, he's a past doctor. I don't remember which one he was. And then I looked it up and it's like, he's in between 8 and 9. How is that possible?
Right.
But when the 50th anniversary aired, yeah, I was blown away by John Hurt's performance. How great of a doctor he was.
It was really good.
We were at a free showing of it at the theater.
Screenland,
yes. Yeah. Screenland Arbor.
I thought they were doing it in Null Avenue, too.
Yeah, they might there's be. A lot of places doing it.
Yeah, they're doing the free one. They're just simulcasting the BBC program. We were there, and as soon as... as Baker showed up on the screen, we could not hear his lines.
I know Colin Baker was really sore that he wasn't invited back, and Sylvester McCoy played it off really cool, but you could tell that he wasn't very happy about not being invited either.
They wanted a part. And yeah. I mean, all the previous milestone anniversaries had as many doctors as were alive and able to be present.
True.
Even the 50th, they used footage of Tom Baker because he didn't want to come back for the Five Doctors special. So it would have been nice, at least just to give him a small role. I mean, I love the way they use Rose as the interface,
yeah.
but they could have done that with Peter Capaldi, who is one of the more kinder, gentler doctors, and it'd be really cool to see one of the more kinder, gentler doctors calling out the doctor on it. Yeah,
Peter. I was about to say, Peter Capaldi's the new
sorry,
one.
Sorry. The other Peter. But Peter Davison, it would have been nice to have seen him calling himself out on, mm-hmm. you know, dark choices that he was on the verge of making.
That would have been great. Like, I understand Colin Baker not being invited back since he was the only doctor who was ever fired.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he got handed a raw deal. He had no say in his costume choice. I know he hated it throughout his entire run. Mm-hmm. He hated a lot of his storylines. He really wanted more effort, and because of all that bad business, he didn't get the chance. Sylvester McCoy just had the recent success with Radagast. There was no reason not to bring him back.
Did you guys see the five-ish doctors?
The five-ish doctors.
Yeah. They brought those guys together. Even Captain Jack showed up. That was kind of a fun little, I think it was like 30 minutes, the little YouTube video.
So, in that video, I don't know if it's true or not, but in that video, they're supposedly what's under the sheets.
Yeah.
That are the Zorgons.
Yeah, the sheets, yeah, in the
room. Oh, that would be
room,
hilarious.
Yeah.
And so, technically, if that's true, those three doctors were in the episode. They just had sheets over their heads.
All right. So, it sounds like we're all pretty excited for the new Who, and... Peter Capaldi, I feel like we all have a lot of faith in him. Let's wrap it up here. Favorite doctor, Eric, go.
David Tennant.
Gotta be David Tennant.
Well, the only good doctor is a dead doctor, but Tennant, I think.
Oh my gosh. You all are the biggest fangirls.
If we're going throughout the entire run of the Doctor, I'd have to say John Pertwee, the third Doctor.
Nice.
He's a gentleman, and yet he fights people. He's constantly throwing people over his shoulder. And
we were just discussing, he's probably more American than the other Doctors. He actually picks up a machine gun and guns down aliens.
Hooray for violence!
It was a Dalek episode where they were Dalek slaves that kind of looked like Klingons.
When did he shoot the Daleks?
No, he just shot the Dalek slaves.
Okay, then I'm still for the episode.
I have to go with Eccleston, because if you're going to start it, I always recommend starting with Empty Child. It's one of my favorites.
Creepy episode.
It is. Oh, yeah. But if you watch the follow-up, Eddie has that beautiful monologue about everybody living, it's a great moment.
You got a lot of, are you my mommy? That episode creeped me out.
I think it creeped everyone out just a little bit.
Yes.
So for all of you Doctor Who fans, we're happy you joined us tonight. For all of you non-Doctor Who fans, you better get on that. Find a doctor, start with the doctor, and go with it. Dig deep from there on. All right, guys, do you have any shameless plugs you want to get in there? How can our fans reach you?
Well, don't forget to friend the Red Dalek on Facebook!
It is at Red Dalek.
Yeah, my Twitter account is Ginsu Skymourne, so if anybody wants to get a hold of me there, Twitter.
And by the way, this guy is a giant LARPer, so if you want to LARP in Kansas City, he can help you out with that.
Oh, yeah.
And Zach, do you want strangers to reach you?
My Twitter handle is Avenger, Z as in Zach, S as in story, and I love talking Star Trek, Doctor Who, all sorts of sci-fi.
Star Wars.
I mean,
shameless plug for Star Wars. Star Wars.
I'm a huge nerd. Marvel Comics. So you can find me on Twitter.
I'm Dalek Dad Eric through the Red Daleks Facebook page. That's how you can reach me on there. I have to do most of the typing for him because that plunger just doesn't type it well.
And I mean, let's be honest, Daleks need good PR, so it's a good thing you're
exactly. I'm the Dalek slave. What can I say?
Perfect, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Of course, you can reach the KC Cosplayers at kccosplayphoto@gmail.com. We have our Twitter at kccosplayphoto. You can also hit us up on Instagram, again, kccosplayphoto. We're on Tumblr, and we're also on YouTube. Thanks so much for joining us. Talk to you next week. Bye.
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 Exterminate!